Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire and also any head cold medication that can clear up my sinuses. Please tweet that now. When you have career and workplace questions, ask today's guest, Dr. Woody. When you have workforce planning questions, ask Acquire. Our best-in-class software solution, Acquire Insight, includes monthly consulting from one of our certified workforce analysts. Watch the video and learn more at acquireinc.com/askacquire.
Welcome, HR Happy Hour. Fantastic to be back. This is the HR Happy Hour show. I'm Steve Bowes. With me, Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion. Shauna, how are you doing tonight?
I'm having a great night.
Fantastic. We'll talk a little bit about what you've been up to so far today in a second. This is the HR Happy Hour. It's episode 97, Ask Dr. Woody. We are trying to find Dr. Woody on our switchboard. So, Dr. Woody, if you can hear my voice right now, press 1 on your handset, and we'll make sure to open up the right line for you in a second. So, if you're listening back on the archive, this is being recorded on Thursday, April 28th, 2011. Our call-in number tonight for anyone who wants to jump in is 646-378-1086. Press a 1 after you get connected, and we'll be sure to bring you right up. And as I said, we're still trying to track down Dr. Woody as well. Yeah, really. So ask Dr. Woody. It's gonna be ask Shauna.
Dr. Woody.
Ask Shauna.
I don't think I can do as good of a job as you can.
Yeah. Right. So HR Happy Hour. So we're having a great time tonight. Shauna is down in Atlanta, Georgia, as we speak, getting ready for the HR Evolution event. So why don't you give us just a little bit, Shauna, of a little field report of what's happening down in Atlanta so far today and tonight?
Well, a lot of people are actually here already, which is awesome. So I literally write like. At 7:45, I'm like, oh, no, I have to get upstairs. There's a happy hour show tonight. I came straight from the hotel bar where a lot of us were meeting. And Ben Eubanks brought his babies down, and they're so adorable. They're so much bigger. And everyone was passing the babies around. And, you know, and of course, Trish is there and Paul and, you know, everyone who is actually in the area tonight seems to be coming down. So.
Great.
The party starts early.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking as you sort of were retelling the story of what's happening down there. I was thinking, wow, what a shock that crowd is managed to congregate at the bar. I'm stunned.
Right.
You're not at the library or the soup kitchen, you know.
Kitchen.
No one's done that, right? So. Well, no, fantastic. The HR Evolution event kicks off really, you know, really in full swing tomorrow night with the tweet up tomorrow night, and then certainly the event on Saturday, which we're all looking forward to, and I'm looking forward to getting down
totally.
To Atlanta as well. And so,
yeah, travel safe.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get everybody down there, and we'll have a really great event in the next couple of days. So, so what else? The call number 646-378-1086. We're still trying to track down Dr. Woody.
Seriously, call in. Dude.
Yeah, really. Our hashtag on Twitter is HR Happy Hour, HR Happy Hour as well. So we'll be looking for that as well. And HR Evolution folks, if you're out there hanging out and if you're listening, please do call in and let us know what's happening down there as well. What else? Oh, today, another announcement. Today we launched really the brainchild of the great Matt Stalick, who is you might know as AKA Bruno, who's sort of you know, our sort of academic genius expert friend of the show.
Yeah.
Matt Stalick put together, edited and curated this really cool ebook called The 8-Man Rotation, a sports and HR ebook that that Matt put together over the past couple of years of blog posts that Chris Dunn, Lance Hahn, Tim Sackett, Matt himself, as well as myself, have written over the last couple of years in and around sports and HR. And so that got published, launched really today. It's just a free ebook. There's 100 pages of sports related blog posts in the ebook. And
I know you guys blog about sports a lot, but seriously, over 100 pages?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yes. It's ridiculous. I'll tweet out the link here in a second once I can.
Yeah, you need to.
Get my mouse working. So that got launched today. We're really proud of that. So what else? And so, yeah, so the HR happy hour tomorrow. So we're still trying to track down Dr. Woody. I'm going to open up line number 3 to see if this might be him. Hi. Area code 217. Hello?
Hello?
All right. We're gonna skip 217. So we're going to go to our backup. Hi, area code 404. Is this the great Tim Gardner?
It is. How are you, Steve?
Hey, Tim, I'm fantastic. Look at you, Tim, down in Atlanta. Sort of the local host of the HR Evolution event. How are you tonight?
Tim, why weren't you at the meeting tonight?
Well, I'm going to be spending much of the rest of the next 2 days there, so I thought I'd come home and see the family tonight.
Oh, family, schmamily.
Family's so pesky that way, Tim. They're always wanting you to do something.
Yeah, attention. Yeah, whatever.
Tim, I want to ask you a question. You're sort of new to the HR Evolution. This will be your first event, and this isn't really an HR Evolution show, but since you called in and we're still trying to track down Dr. Woody, I'll ask this question, Tim. What's on your mind, and what do you think about the HR Evolution, and why did you decide to get involved?
Well, I've been paying attention to it ever since you started. In fact, I almost was able to get to the first one. I used to work in Kentucky, and we used to go for weekends in Louisville and stay at the Seal Bock where you were having that event. And we're almost able to get up there for that. And I followed there, and then more recently last year, of course, I followed the tweet stream when you were in Chicago. So when you came here, it was clear that I needed to go. I mean, there's no way I could not. So the reason is in part because for the better part of 2.5 years. I've mostly lurked in reading all these various blogs and followed many of you, and only really jumped
the
in.
Lurking.
Yeah, in a non-creepy way, of course.
Of course,
right.
And,
good point.
And if you need any tips, you can come to my session tomorrow.
And so, as I started to think about what did I want to write about, I thought, well, I should really kind of interact with these people more publicly and start to get to know them in real life, as we say. And just couldn't miss the opportunity to join up this weekend.
Yeah, Tim, it's going to be great. We're really looking forward to connecting and being in your town. Our unofficial host for the weekend, which is going to be fantastic. And good weather in Atlanta right now, Tim? Or?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we chased all the rain away Wednesday night, and it's been beautiful ever since.
Beautiful. Good. We're looking forward to getting down there. So let me do a quick reset because we're kind of going off in a different direction here, Sean, and we're kind of going, without a nap. This is the HR Happy Hour. I'm Steve Bowes. Sean Amorky's with me. Tim Gardner's on the line. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board, particularly if you are Dr. Woody. Please press 1. And if you're not Dr. Woody, you can press 1 as well. We'd love
to
chat with you tonight. On Twitter, our hashtag is HR Happy Hour as well. So, we're looking forward to the event, certainly the HR Evolution event, and lots of great folks down there. And I just wonder, Tim, you know, you've probably been to many other more traditional style of events. And I mean, did you start to sense that this was really a different kind of a vibe, a different kind of thing? You expect something really different than maybe you've seen at other events?
Well, you know, my background is it hasn't really been so much in formal HR. I've just kind of grown up into the organization, and I have not really attended a lot of conferences. I've done a lot of training and been involved in a lot of training, in particular in the organization design area. But part of the reason is when I went to conferences during my engineering career, I just found them to be kind of, uninteresting to me. It's way too many people with not enough good quality information.
Right.
That part of me that I talk about, the introvert, really doesn't like the big crowds and masses of people. But when it's a smaller concentration of people who I've already come to understand the quality of interaction they bring, it was a no-brainer. This is a completely different type of environment. It's not passive. It's active. I know I'm as expected to participate and bring what I know to it as much as the session leaders are.
Right.
Very
yeah,
cool.
No, I think that's a pretty good assessment, Tim. You know, obviously Shauna is a veteran, and you know, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, Shauna, but I heard there might be some special recognition or consideration of the HR Evolution 3-time attendees. I've heard that might happen. I don't want to promise anything.
I'm so excited.
And there aren't that many. Really, there aren't that many fall into that category, Shauna. You are being one of them, certainly, but there aren't that many. So, well, that's cool. So, great. So, HR Evolution is coming up, of course. That's happening. What else is happening?
I know.
We've got to start making plans for the 100th episode, Shauna, which, sadly, is coming up quick. Not sadly that it's coming up quick, but sadly that I'm not sure I've really given it its due attention and what might be a fitting kind of type of a show for episode 100, which by my reckoning is 3 weeks from tonight, right?
It's really coming up fast.
Right. 100 of these. Can you believe we've done 90? This is number 97.
Dude, it's been almost 2 years, so yeah.
It's shocking to think to me, and Tim, I don't know how many of these 97 you've been along for the ride for, but when I think about what the show was, honestly, calling this a show is that's a stretch. That's a little bit of a stretch. And certainly it was back then, Shauna. I mean, what we did back in, 2009.
It has changed a lot.
Yeah, I think, when I first heard about it, I did probably go online and listen while I was taking care of other things around the house, just, listening to what's going on. And I didn't know as many of the people that you currently have involved, but it always drew my interest when you had a very specific topic, like when you had recently some of the people responding to healthcare reform and what's going on in that
space
and
wellness.
And when you have an author,
the authors are great, Tim. I'd love, honestly, if this is really more of 100th show kind of talk, but since we're sort of improvising tonight.
I'm going to claim I was a guest on your 100th show now. So
you got it, Tim. I love the show we did on the union issue, the Wisconsin union issues with Mike Vandervoort and Thomas Kokin a few weeks back. That was one of my favorites that we've done in the last couple of months. That was a good show.
What?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that? It was a good show?
I thought that
you can say that.
There's so many folks in HR that don't have a lot of that union exposure. I mean, it's 20% of our workforce is unionized. So how many jobs are there where you get that opportunity? And to have someone like Mike who has spent so much of his career in it, he's a rich resource and has seen that whole gradual change in tenure of the corporate union relationship, and in this case, government union relationship, which is fascinating.
Yeah, that was and I like when we can focus on some of those real topical kind of, really in the news kind of stories and react to them reasonably quickly. It's kind of like Law and Order, right? Every time there's a high profile, shocking case. in the tabloids 3 weeks later. It's on Law and Order. So, hey, let's do a quick reset. Let's just step back. Let's just calm down. And in fact, I mentioned to Sean, I wanted to kind of have low key it a little bit tonight. We got a big weekend coming up in Atlanta, so we got to keep things under control tonight. But this is the HR Happy Hour. We are just rolling with it. Any topics, fair game. If you're out there listening on the tonight,
people.
Please do call in 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you get connected. We'll put you right up. Our Twitter hashtag is HR Happy Hour. We'll keep an eye on that. Matt Stolick had a great question. Matt Stolick, the mastermind behind the 8-Man Rotation ebook, kicked off a question. He teed it up for me, if you will, pardon the football pun, about the NFL draft and the fact that with our 8-Man Rotation ebook getting released today, did we have any thoughts about the draft and the HR implications? And funny you would ask that, Matt Stolick, because yesterday on the site, I posted a little review, if you will, of a television show I watched on ESPN about the NFL draft, where the legendary coach Bill Parcells was sharing with the audience some of his concepts, his philosophies, and around talent assessment. You know, and Shauna, you know this, right? We write so much about sports, right? The guys who are part of the 8-Man Rotation. Everything about sports you can tie back to the workplace and, you know, those talent assessment, talent management, performance management issues. And with the draft, I wrote a little piece about some of the things I thought were interesting that Parcells used in his evaluation of players, and some of which were kind of almost like the non-standard. And really the larger point was, you know, with these players, they're so closely evaluated that all the teams had that same basic information, right? They all knew, everybody had access to, you know, how tall they were, how much they weighed, how fast they could run, right? Things like that. None of that was a secret anymore, but it was what were those things that you were sort of looking at that you know, what could you look at in terms of the player that was different and unique? And Parcells talked specifically about the length of arms of a player, right, to play cornerback position, that's what he looked at. That was a key to him. And for the quarterback position, he talked about, well, I want guys who've started in college for 3 years and completed 61% of their passes. He had very specific criteria for his evaluation. And I thought that was quite interesting that, you know, at least for him, we've got to look beyond the information that everybody else has, and we've got to figure out what we really believe makes a player likely to succeed in our particular circumstances of our team, which that was sort of the other part of the Parcells story I thought was interesting. And I don't know if anybody else watched that, but I found it really a fascinating kind of really snapshot into really hardcore talent assessment criteria, particularly when all your competitors have access to pretty much the same information you have.
Dude, you could write blog posts on all of that alone. You could
I wrote that alone. I might write about that again. You know, I'll pull it up on the DVR. So anyway, HR Happy Hour. We've got someone who wants to join us. Tim, hang out with us, please do. We appreciate you being with us tonight.
Yes, please, Tim. We appreciate you a lot.
Hi, area code 612. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
What's up from Minneapolis?
Hey! Oh, yay!
This is our very good friend of the show, Paul DeBettings, the MN Minnesota Headhunter. How are you tonight, Paul?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic, Paul.
Paul?
We do. Paul's a great guy. He hasn't checked in a while. Paul, you're a huge sports guy, I know. You've got to love some of the sports talk, of course.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's the draft. The draft takes too long. It's all like I'm waiting for the top of the hour. I'm waiting for the next hockey game. I've got the Big Bang Theory on mute right now because I was watching it till I called.
Love Big Bang Theory.
I can I hijack your show for a couple minutes?
Paul, please do. We've got 40 minutes. Go.
Yeah, we've got to kill some time here, Paul.
I want to talk about the influence thing that everyone's been ragging about for the last day.
The controversy.
So here's what I've been trying to figure out. Okay, I once again pop up on this thing, and I get some email from folks who I know, and some of them who I respect, and a couple of them who I don't, who are questioning why. Someone asked me, why do I think I rank on this list? And they weren't being polite about it.
Let me step back for a second. I think you're referencing one of the digital influencer lists that comes out of the HR Examiner, that list, right?
Right.
So I'm on a quest. I'm on a quest to find out what is the definition of other folks. What's their definition of influencer? Like,
you're a huge influencer. It doesn't surprise me at all that you're on this list.
But part of it is, so I had a great conversation with Jim Durbin yesterday. Jim's been a friend of mine for years. He's down in Dallas, and he and Craig Fisher are working together on some stuff. I just had them up here for our last recruiter event. It was a conversation of, is an influencer, and I don't want to sound snide, just someone who everybody knows? Is an influencer someone who gets to speak at all the Sherm events?
Right.
Can an influencer be a recruiter who is really committed to his or her community in, say, Topeka, Kansas, and they are the person who helps put together stuff in that town, or they're the one who gets to speak at the Kansas Sherm event, let's assume that they have one.
They're the one who
does have the influence, right, in their town. But it could very well be that for those of us in Minneapolis or New York or Chicago, we wouldn't even know who these folks are. But don't they still have influence, even though we haven't heard from them? Like, what's that definition? I'm curious. What's your definition?
That's a super question, Paul. So does influence just mean, you know, I can send out a message and, you know, via my really well-developed LinkedIn or Twitter networks, that message will potentially be seen by many thousands of people, right? Because it seems to me that at least some of what we see with these kind of influence lists or these almost popularity lists mostly reflect that, right? The potential reach, maybe, sort of thinking about that the right way, versus, you know, really sort of actionable, boy, this person is someone that the industry follows and respects and really, really affects, you know, in a way that you can see the way people are really doing their jobs or at least considering doing their jobs, right? I think it's hard to know, though, Paul. You know what I mean? Like, is it easy to even figure out by any measure?
I don't think so. And the other part is you just said one of the phrases that it's been said to me a few times is, you know, someone who is able to affect change within the industry. Which industry? The national one, a regional one, a local one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so someone could be an influencer on the West Coast, and somebody in Atlanta, Georgia may not know much about them.
Right.
You know, so I wonder about, so what's that definition of influence? Is it someone who effectively gets up in front of an audience? Does it have to be 20 people, 100 people, 1,000 folks? Like, is it the part where it's influencers where you're getting people to make changes in their, then is it personal, business, professional? It's like, I've had all these conversations, and I'm curious now. I figured you guys, we could kill some time with this one.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's really,
it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, right? The whole sort of idea of influence, which seems to be mostly, at least in the context that we're talking about it, I think right now, and the context in which we're seeing it a lot lately, tends to focus more on, you know, online, or to use the HR Examiner term, the digital influence, right? Which seems to be, you know, and I'll call out Matt Stolik on here, our statistician, our friend. Yeah. You can sort of try to measure that. You can look at numbers. You can see, you know, amounts of followers and friends and retweets and levels of engagement and things like that. And you could try to quantify that versus, you know, in a more traditional sense that if you're a leader of recruiting or HR or whatever it is you're leading at a really large organization, that you might have a tremendous amount of influence that might not show up under these kind of measures that are more focused on things you can actually see and touch, right?
Go ahead, Paul. You would need people to A, be honest, which maybe they wouldn't be able to totally be honest, or B, maybe they wouldn't want to give up what I'm about to ask. I mean, could we ask some of the recruiter folks to actually give up how many placements did they make? Could we give up what did they create in revenue?
Right, yeah, that's a great point.
We're actually getting into, you know, now we get back to some of the sports stuff, right? I don't want to call it wins and losses, but how many placements did you make? You know, how many placements do you think you made because of your social media presence? You know, let's start. But of course, I know a lot of folks either don't have it or wouldn't want to give it up.
Yeah,
is my guess.
I think we see that, or at least we see a little bit of that, would be more on the corporate side, right? We'll see some stories or case studies that'll get presented on the corporate side that might say, okay, we've launched these different campaigns using the various social properties or mobile properties or whatever the case may be, and that you might see some information in a case study format that ties back X number of applications and so many number of interviews and so many number of hires from those campaigns. You tend not to see those things, you know, mm-hmm. I think, anyway, from on the independent side with independent recruiters or smaller staffing companies probably.
Because I think it's an interesting conversation to have. And now I struggle with this next part. So, you know, and Shana kind of knows this, I'm very comfortable in my recruiting skills and what I can do as a search firm guy. I'm not very good at promoting myself, though. Like, I have
right.
an online presence, but it's a very passive, non-aggressive approach that I have. So
you're so well known in your market that, you don't really need to actively do that.
But so how would you give me some advice. How would you, if you were me, say, or would you even say, right, that you were number two on this last list? Because some folks are going to go, well, that's just because you write a blog and you tweet now and again and you're on Facebook and a bunch of LinkedIn connections. Or, you know, so we started a new firm. So I have been doing the perm search stuff for 13 years, and I have, over the last 10 weeks, created a new company with a friend of mine called HireCast Consulting, and we're getting into the IT consulting contract part. Well, I appreciate that. So far, so good.
It'll be awesome.
Should I be? How would you use this? Or would you use this?
That's a great question, Paul, because
I think you should use this.
The companies that you're working with, or at least you're attempting to work with and you're pitching, I mean, you know, does that matter to them? Or is it they're really sort of bottom-line focused, results-oriented, bring me the right person when I need them kind of thing, right? Do you need to sell so much? Do you need to sell so much how you're going to do it? You know, I'll wave my number three digital influencer badge around, and that will make lots of great candidates come to me, you know? I mean, I'm sort of asking, right? I mean, I'm not out there selling these kind of services either. So do you think it resonates out in the broader market outside of the bubble, if you will?
Well, I don't know if it does in the recruiter HR space, ironically enough.
Right.
but I do... You know, when we are talking, you know, I mean, there's probably, as best we can figure out, and I've done some market research, there are probably about 120-some of us in this space in Minneapolis alone. So would it give us some credibility or validity for our new venture with the technology manager, the technology managers, the CIOs, the VP of IT?
Right.
Credibility with some new candidates now, right? Because I mean, I've got a pretty good stream or pool of folks on the perm side, but the consulting contracting is a little bit different. So I am talking to a lot of brand new IT folks to me. So do I drop this? I mean, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
You would think that if this is based off of being a digital influencer and you're working with tech people, that it shows that you're at least out there in that kind of space and that you have a good understanding of it. In that regard, I would think it would lend some credibility to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's the part I struggled with.
Okay, Paul, let me put you on pause for a second, a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour. We're just chatting. It's kind of an open mic night. Tim Gardner, I believe, is still with us. Paul DeBettings is with us. The MN Headhunter is with us.
Yay, Paul.
I'm Steve Bose. Shauna Morkey is here. Of course, the HR Minion. Our calling number, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on board. There are a couple more folks who want to come on board as well. We'll get to you in 1 second. On Twitter, our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. It's a little quiet tonight, Shauna. I'm going to attribute that a little bit to the HR Evolution effect. And, you know, we've we're losing some audience to revelry and festivities in Atlanta.
They're all out dinner.
Let's appreciate you calling in. Hang out with us as well. Let's take a call on line number 3, which is area code 813. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hello, Steve, Sean. It's Mike Vandervoort. How are you?
Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
Hey. I'm doing really good.
Were your ears ringing about 15 minutes ago?
I had been on a phone call, and I just switched. I just got the computer turned on, and I heard, yeah, that was a great show with Mike and the union. I was like, huh? So anyway, thanks for whatever you said, because I didn't actually hear it. But assuming it was good, and if it wasn't, well, I'll live with that. No, saw Shauna the other day. That was really cool. We had a nice dinner at the Burson event, or around the Burson event, with a bunch of people.
It was
I was just calling in to basically say hi and see you guys, in the next couple of days. But I was listening. I thought Paul's question was really interesting. Craig Fisher did a TNL chat last night about clout scores.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you got this clout and My Social Web and, Empire Avenue. Which
yeah, you've got that Empire Avenue stock thing.
Yeah, right? it's all kind of about, it all seems to be about, like, how much you talk. But, I mean, I don't know that there is a succinct answer to Paul's question, and certainly I'm probably not the one to answer it, but, like, there is some value in some space to, to this work that we do, if it's really work, or this, this avocation that we have with the interest
right.
in social media, right? And like there's actually a small consulting firm that there's a guy in down in the Miami area, and I think his partner and the owner of the company is actually up in Paul's area, called Yellow Dog Consult or Yellow Dog Recruiting. And they do a really nice. I don't mean to call out another company, but they do a really nice job of promoting both themselves and working with their clients to produce, in some cases, like video resumes and that kind of thing. And so they're using it, in a couple ways. One is self-promotion, and they're in a niche industry. I think they recruit mostly in the restaurant industry for management and that kind of stuff, or other specialized talent. But then they also help people, so they have some fun with it, I guess that all comes back to that brand thing. They're kind of known for being good at that, and for those people that resonates with, and kind of plays with me, they're viewed as creative. I don't see how it hurts. I just don't think it works for everybody. So I think influence is kind of dependent on your audience as much as anything else.
Right, the willingness of people to be influenced, almost, right?
Yeah, or those people who might find, Yellow Dog kind of weird because they're doing all that social media stuff aren't going to work with them,
Yeah.
But they're going to find another more traditional recruiting firm, or maybe Jerry Albright, who's kind of the anti-social media guy. Jerry says I like to tweet to take a break, right, or whatever. I've never made a penny off Twitter.
Yeah,
and yet he quit and came back. And is he an influencer? I don't know. He influences some people because they talk to him all the time. And
right.
I guess I'm just saying it's dependent on your audience, which isn't like very scientific or anything. But
it's not unlike other forms of advertising. I saw someone talk today. It might have been Sumser, I want to say, because it sounds like something he might have said that he talked a little bit about the what we're calling social recruiting or sort of social engagement or candidate engagement is really just finding more ways to advertise. More platforms.
Yeah, I really think it is. And finding those, those channels where the people who want to be talked to that way can be talked to. I mean, take it to a different medium. I rarely watch TV in what you would call real time anymore, right? I don't watch
DVR.
Yeah, it's on my DVR, or I watch it on Netflix or Hulu, or because it fits better into my lifestyle, so that
right.
the traditional TV show doesn't attract me. I'm not going to watch The Office, last episode for Steve Carell tonight. I'll watch it sometime next week when I am not cleaning the house or whatever.
Spoilers.
So anyway, so the other thing I was going to say, and then I'll let you get on to somebody else, is, you know, there is some value because, you know, this is shameless self-promotion, but I just got a new
opportunity. Yeah, talk about your new thing. We saw the announcement.
Essentially, I've been doing, you know, the labor relations HR work at Publix, and now I'm going to be it's a project assignment for the you know, the near term, and then we'll see what happens with it. But getting ready to, you know, enter into the world of social media in some ways, and I can't really talk too much about the specifics of that. But, you know, I was tapped on the shoulder a couple weeks ago, and they said, we'd like you to be the social media community manager for us.
Wow,
you have
that's awesome.
Good, so well done, Mike.
You know, it really is, and it's a Fortune 100 company, you know, and I'm an HR guy, and but it was because I, you know, did this stuff that we have fun at, and it's turned into opportunities, and I think, you know, it could have really led me into an entirely different career if things go a certain way.
Sure,
I don't
definitely
necessarily anticipate that, but. You know, there's some reality to that, right? And I don't know if that's because I'm an influencer, but obviously somebody saw something, right?
Right.
So,
well, you built up that capital and that sort of trust level and that reputation.
Yeah, and so I think you know, even though sometimes you can say, well, we're just kind of talking, you know, in our little echo chamber and we're all having nice parties and we go to all these conferences and all that. And there's an element of truth to that, but, you know, we're seeing more and more where people are making real inroads with this stuff as well. So I think that's part of being an influencer is you got to hit the right chords and then, you know.
Well,
and
Paul, to reach back to Paul's question about influence and discussion about influence, I don't say maybe it's a stretch, Mike, but I'll say it. You've sort of influenced some of the thinking, at least at that very large organization about how they want to approach some things. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, 18 months ago, I started doing some internal training. Basically, I asked if I could do it. About, you know, this is what's going on out there, especially on the HR side, and that kind of, you know, in some ways led to where we're at now. That's not the only thing that did it, of course, but it was one of several things going on inside a really big company that eventually got us where we're going now, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thoughts on that influencing. It really is an interesting discussion. A lot of it is just noise, and some of it reaches out and really makes real contacts. And I don't think that hurts anybody as long as they're willing to listen, and if they're not, just change the channel.
Yeah, no, super point, Mike, and definitely right about sort of changing the channel. You know, because sometimes you'll see, whether it's consultants or just pundits or, you know, experts, quote unquote, will try to attempt to tell you or an organization or a company that's approaching these kind of these platforms and say, well, here's the right way to do this or here's what you should do or don't do this. And that seems kind of weird, right? It's like, well, if you don't like how someone's behaving, just shut them off, right? Turn them off.
Yeah, I totally agree. So anyway, see you guys, most of you, in a couple of, or I guess tomorrow night. So
super, yeah.
Forward
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate the call. And congratulations again. It's super.
Thanks. I appreciate it. See you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Great. Quick reset. HR happy hour. We're kind of just, it's wide open tonight. We've lost our guest. Although, if somebody does want to get on board on line four, we'll bring line four up in 1 second, and we'll see what happens, if that's Dr. Woody or not. But no worries. It's all good. It's all good, right, Shauna? We're just
we'll
relaxing. It's our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Please do call in if you're listening tonight and want to get on board and just hang out with us. Absolutely welcome you to do that. Twitter hashtag is HR Happy Hour. We'll keep an eye on that as well. We're kicking around influence tonight. We're kicking around the HR evolution a little bit, obviously, since many of us will be there or are already there, not like
exactly.
Me, in the next couple of days. And really, whatever else, and ideas for the 100th episode of the HR Happy Hour, which is coming up really, really fast. So let's go ahead and take this call on line number four. Hi, area code 260. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
It is not Dr. Woody.
Damn. Wait,
it's Jerry Albright.
Jerry, how are you, my friend?
Jerry.
I'm doing good. Right as I called in, it was funny because you took Mike's call, and Mike says, I heard my name, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going to have to hang up because I was sure somebody was going to blast me there.
No.
We love you, Jerry.
Not on this show, Jerry. I won't allow that.
I'm used to the animal show, I think, is where I get all the,
that's,
you know.
Problem. Yeah, we'll do the kumbaya thing a little bit more.
Yeah,
here.
I like it.
A little bit.
It was interesting.
Sorry,
was that Paul? I couldn't tell who that I was talking about influence.
Yeah,
and
was
should
Paul
they mention it?
Yeah, MN Headhunter, yeah.
You know, that's an interesting question, really. And as I was thinking about it while I was on hold listening to the other stuff, isn't the real question, okay, let's say that does get you an opportunity to provide your service.
Right.
It still gets down to, are you able to do it?
Yeah.
And in recruiting, I mean, a lot of times it's not so much do you get a chance, it's can you make it happen? Can you get it done? Can you bring someone to the team?
Yeah, because isn't it kind of conceivable lots of people can get that chance, right? Because there's not much investment in giving someone the chance.
Well, you know, I think maybe it used to be. I think companies are more discerning now in who they're going to spend that. You know, everything is time.
Yeah,
and
time, right. There's time.
And, you know, when you open the door to a new recruiter, you know, you should be committing to, okay, I'm going to let you talk to my couple of managers, and I know you're going to follow up with me. And so there's you're kind of investing a little bit of your company's time. So I don't think everybody gets to play anymore.
Right. Okay.
So you have to have some unique abilities up front to get a crack at it. But I think a well-versed professional can usually get a shot if they're in their space.
Right.
You know, I recruit in IT and engineering, so if I were to call a hospital and see if I could start recruiting doctors for them, they would spot me as an intruder, and, you know. So
yeah,
now,
but then I'm going to ask you that. You brought up that example, and let's just pretend you were going to try to do that, right? The IT market's drying up in the Midwest, and you're thinking, boy, you know, but people are getting older, they're getting sicker, and the hospitals are filling up. I want to get a little taste of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you, Jerry, waive your digital influence number or your clout score? Do you think that would help at all? Would that be a factor?
I don't. I really, really don't think that it would at all. I can't see how it would.
Yeah. Jerry, would you use it in your bio on your company website?
To me, I think it just smacks of a little bit of tooting your own horn, only because it's not like you're saying you completed your doctorate or you've, you know what I'm saying? Like is it a true accomplishment? I'm not slamming this stuff because at any given time I might hopefully pop up on one of those lists.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems to be a travesty that you haven't yet.
It's totally a travesty, Jerry.
And the thing is
Jerry, let me ask you a question. So if you are on a list one day,
yeah,
what do you do with it?
Nothing. But that's just me. Maybe chuckle a little bit. Are we talking about Sumser's latest?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was sort of the baseline. You know, Paul talked about influence in general, and then we were kind of kicking around the idea that what we seem to, at least in our little space here, the kinds of folks who are listening to a Blog Talk radio show at night on a Thursday, you know, are kind of dialed into the social space enough that the digital sort of side of things is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and so while I was on hold and I was hoping that you were going to pick up my line, I was thinking, okay, my clout score is only 54. Do I say that? Okay.
Yeah.
When you know, should I, you know, I didn't know if I should mention it or not. No, I just find it all rather interesting.
I could see a future, Jerry, where I'm saying you know that. I'm saying you in the general sense. I don't mean you personally, Jerry. When you walk into an AA meeting, you say, "Oh, you know, I'm Steve. I'm an alcoholic." You know, I could see walking into a social media. You know, my name is Jerry, and I'm a 54 clout score. Welcome, Jerry. You know what I mean? That's
nice.
And as a measure of how good you're doing, you can say, "I used to be a 72, and I've got it down to a 40."
Hey, Paul. I have Paul and Jerry on the line. I'm going to ask you both: do you care, and do your clients care on the candidate side of things about some of the things we're talking about? Do we care about, you know, Jerry, you're recruiting IT professionals. You're looking for very specific skill sets, and I get that. Does this ever come up, or could you see
if it doesn't now,
which it probably doesn't, could you see a time where it would come up in terms of candidate assessment?
You know, if you're talking about candidate assessment from like a hiring perspective, only if it was
screening or presentation, like who am I gonna push forward to my client? Do you care?
No, but I do think that it would maybe help them in terms of their visibility. So hearing about more opportunities from the people from our side of the fence who are scouring all of that stuff to find people to recruit.
Yeah. Okay.
I see a value in being visible there. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish more people were. I mean, I've got positions that I would think that those kind of people would be out in the world, you know, jQuery, JavaScript developers. No, they're not out there. They're on LinkedIn. I mean, you can dig some of them up on LinkedIn, but those guys are still, and gals, okay? There are ladies in computers now.
Do you go out to, like, and this is really getting deep into the weeds, but I'll ask, do you ever go out to, like, Stack Overflow or GitHub to try to unearth some of those kind of people? Is that anywhere you've tried?
Well, what I do is just like last week ago, I'll just tell you about the guy I just placed yesterday. I'll tell you how it happened. I was on the internet. I had gone through LinkedIn to see if there was anything new there, searching for people, trying different ways of putting in my buzzwords. Didn't see anybody that either I hadn't seen, spoken to, or you know, otherwise dismissed. Then I went searching for forums and blogs. I was looking for a cold fusion developer. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's some ubiquitous skill set out there.
Okay.
Well, I found a thing, I don't know, Cold Fusion Talk or something like that, .com. So I went there, and lo and behold, there's like 3,000 members in the place.
Right.
And I could see that there was recent activity. Like even over the weekend, there'd been a couple people saying, hey, I'm looking for a new job, or we're hiring for our project. I signed up a quick user account.
Okay.
Posted in there, hey, I've got a project in Cleveland, and we're looking for a cold fusion consultant. Monday morning, this would be the next morning, a guy sent me an email, and he said, hey, saw your stuff, and I'm in Louisville, but Cleveland's okay with me if it's a contract. And so next day he was on the phone. Luckily, I've got a good client that, you know, interviews the people that day or the next day, and pretty soon he was driving up there, and he starts next Monday. So, you know, how would you characterize all of that activity? I don't know. I mean, a little bit of this, a pinch of that, but always on your toes.
Right. And not so much about influence necessarily, but just understanding that the kind of folks you're looking for, you know, may not be on the obvious places, right?
Yeah, maybe more of just an awareness of all the nooks and crannies out there. Might be more to it.
I wanted to think, because here's the exception that Jerry and I have always had with each other. I think sometimes we disagree on this. There's a tech event that's in Minneapolis. It's our mini bar, our bar camp tech event is May 7th at Best Buy. I'm looking at the registration page right now. We have 850 folks registered. They're expecting 1,000. Of the 850, I'm doing a quick scan, at least 70% have a link to a personal website.
I mean, I don't disagree with that at all.
Whoa, slow down. 35 to 45% of these folks have a Twitter account.
Cool.
So what I've been trying to say for a long time is I also think it depends, and I did a this is part of that presentation, Jerry, that I did the other day, was it also depends on where you're recruiting, what's that town like, what's the culture like, what's the industry, because, you know, we have a large ad PR marketing economy here in Minneapolis. So even all of the tech folks in our not all, right? A lot of, if not most of the tech folks in town who are in IT, who are working at these firms, they too have Twitter accounts. So in Minneapolis, Twitter works for me, right? If I'm recruiting in a little bit more of the heartland, you know, if I was doing Kansas City or if I was doing Indianapolis, there may not be a large talent pool is also doing the social media stuff. So that's why I think sometimes it gets lost, right? Jerry will say, I think Jerry has said this on a number of occasions, this shit doesn't work. And I've been saying it on a number of occasions.
So I don't use the S bomb or the F bomb in
come
public.
Come on, Paul. Clean it up, buddy.
Okay. No one has ever heard me cuss unless it's been in a bar in person.
Jerry, this is Mike. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so Tampa's not a real hotbed of tech, but there's like a lot of self-employed entrepreneurial type IT people down here doing development and coding and that kind of stuff, and they meet quite frequently, like at they use the meetup.com page and have all kinds of tech forum meetings and that kind of thing. And there are guys that recruit to that. Do Paul and Jerry, do you guys ever like look at that? Because that's kind of a social, you know, it blends real life and online. Do you guys ever look in those kind of things or at the startup forums?
You mean
that are
go
out
to
there?
Those events?
Yeah, go to the events or reach out through the tools that you have, you know, the social media tools, and talk to folks or build relationships. Do you ever do that?
Yeah,
I
as of yet haven't gone to the events. Paul, tell us about that.
Here, I mean, this is the part again. You know, China will can probably lend a hand on this. Is that Minneapolis is very much a community town. So,
it really is.
Yeah,
so,
big city though too, right? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, you know, so it's like I don't know size-wise, population-wise, but it's the 13th largest media market in the U.S. So there are at least two legit tech tweet-ups a week. We have, last I counted, 40-some IT user groups. There's a what's called mini demo. These happen 4 times a year where folks.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
there's probably bar camp and word camp and pod camp and all kinds of other things.
Yeah.
Right?
Many bars.
Can we just have regular camp, like Boy Scout camp?
Boy Scout
camp.
Yeah. Campity camp.
Really?
Camp. All right. I'm out of the conversation. Thanks.
I think that's the part, though, right? That if you're in a place where this stuff is widely used and accepted, you know, that's why I can say to folks, you know, sourcing folks on Twitter, sourcing folks on Facebook makes sense. If I'm trying to source folks in Salt Lake City, and if not a lot of folks in Salt Lake City are on this, I'm not going to use this as much of a tool. You know, so
I guess my original point was that Tampa's not a hotbed, but there's a lot more there that people don't realize unless you delve into the community, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Indianapolis or whatever. So,
and a lot of folks,
so you
could
miss it if you're not engaged in some of those ways, is my overriding point.
Yeah, and I think that it seems like there are so many different ways to get engaged that you can't do them all, you know? And so you just find the ones that work for you and really, really go for it. I mean, I think my phone battery's dying.
All right, we got you. Let me take a pause real quick. We got about 7 minutes left in the show. Let me do a quick reset. We're talking about recruiting, influence, a lot of other things. This is the HR Happy Hour. I'm Steve Bowe. Shauna Markey's here. Jerry Albright's on the line. Mike Vandervoort. Paul DeBettings. Tim Gardner's still with us, I think. We might have lost Tim in true introvert fashion. He might have pulled back and pulled back from the conversation, but we appreciate Tim for calling in earlier in the show.
Oh, we totally appreciate him.
We have a couple more minutes left in the show, so if you do want to get on board, please do try 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you're on the line. For the half a dozen or so folks who are listening in on the phone as well, if any of you want to get on board, please press 1 and we'll put you right up on the line. So we're talking, it's kind of an interesting conversation, you know, in and around influence and whether or not it's important on the recruiting side and whether or not it's important to candidates. Can we ever see a time where, you know, Paul, you might be familiar with this from the Twin Cities, Best Buy, it's probably a year ago or more now, right? They had that one position and they made a little notoriety because they were one of the first sort of wildly.
Oh, that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, publicized positions where they said, yeah, all right, we want someone who's got 500 followers or something, right, to apply for this job. Do you ever get the sense that these whether it's a clout score or whatever comes next that's better and more refined, will we ever feel like it's can become like almost like a credential, something I would put on my resume? You know, Steve Bowes, I know how to do X, Y, and Z. My clout score is 72. you know, or is that crazy to think about?
There are two things that I'm seeing, I mean, literally firsthand now over the last weeks, where you have some, again, now it depends on the company, right? So 3M's not going to care in most likely, in for most positions, 3M's not going to
care.
Unless 3M's hiring a social media strategist, in which case they might care a little bit. You know, where Target or Best Buy might go, you know, maybe we will at least, we'll be curious, you know. So if they're going to hire somebody who's in PR, marketing, advertising, they may at least hop on clout, see if the person, you know, has anything going on. But there is a there's a flip side that's gone on with this, and I said it from the beginning when young Mr. Shawla came out with Me 2.0, what, a year and a half ago, we are now seeing companies in Minneapolis saying we do not want folks who have this massive presence because, well, there's lots of reasons. Is their image going to be larger than our company or the boss? Are they spending too much time on this stuff? And are they only going to be here for 16 months until the next cool company calls them up? So you have folks in town saying, we're looking for people who get social media, but we're not looking for one of those 25 rock stars that everybody knows. We just want somebody who can do the work.
That's fascinating.
I think that's a good point, Paul, because to have that kind of, you know, whatever you call it, influence, reach, retweets, whatever, you have to
notoriety.
Spend a ton of time on the internet. And how many positions, roles, responsibilities, and companies actually involve being on the internet that much, promoting or investigating? I mean, you have to spend a lot of time to have a high clout score or whatever these other sense of measures are.
Right.
Speaking of clout score, while I'm thinking about it, Steve, Shauna, do you guys have any kind of a voucher or anything for this show? Because it's not really on the internet.
Yeah. There's a validation process when you go. Yeah, there is. Like when you go to the doctor and they validate your parking, we can do that for you. We can punch
here,
it in.
I'll tweet that you're on the HR Happy Hour talking about clout, so my tweet will help you, right?
I'll retweet it twice from two different accounts. You know,
I hope you don't think that's petty.
No, I don't. that's relevant.
I take what I can get. Again, I'm only at my clout's a 54, and I'm shooting for 60 over the next couple of weeks.
You got to jack it up. That's very reasonable. You know, I'll ask this, you know, it's just us kids talking. It's a low-key show tonight. I don't think there's a lot of folks listening. Do you sometimes feel a little silly with all this, like a little silly with these clout scores and the tweeting and the retweeting? It's like, oh, my God, it's come to this. This is what I'm doing.
I think it's absurd.
Yeah.
You came back.
I know. It's terrible.
I was bored.
I don't find it.
I'm partially retired anyway, so I've got free time.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just chilling out.
Yeah, you're like sort of the Marlon Brando character in The Godfather. You're semi-retired now.
Nice.
And you're just,
otherwise, I'd be wandering around in a bathrobe all day. You know, that's not pretty, and it's certainly not anything my family needs to see. So I just tell them I'm working. Dad's working. You know.
Awesome. Hey, guys, I can't believe an hour has flown by so quickly, but it has. So,
yay, we've been here with our guests.
Huge thanks. Without a guest tonight, our guest, Dr. Woody, will have to send an APB for him. His cloud score is definitely going to go down tonight. Tim Gardner, Mike Vandervoort, Paul DeBettings, of course, Jerry Albright.
Guys are awesome. We appreciate you so
tonight.
Much.
Really
thanks, guys. Have a good evening. We'll see you all around.
Big fun.
Send me the app, please. I need the voucher. Thank you.
We'll retweet, absolutely. Get your clout score up. Shauna, super job tonight. Really a lot of fun just hanging out. Kind of like an old-school show. We were talking about the origins of HR Happy Hour, and we did quite a few of these type of shows where we just sort of chatted and with whoever turned up, and it was fun. A little nerve-wracking.
Tried to make it professional.
Yeah. Yeah, before we got all corporate. So, super. And many thanks to Acquire, of course, our show sponsors.
We love you, Acquire.
Our friends from Acquire, Lois and Sam, I believe, are both in Atlanta or will shortly be there, and we'll see them soon. So, Shauna, I'll open up the lines for after show.
Yeah, I can't get into the thing.
Okay. I'm going to play us out. And thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time from the HR Happy Hour.
Thanks, guys.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was sponsored by Acquire, providers of leading workforce planning and analytics software. Get together with peers to explore current HR issues, meet the Acquire team, and hear your revered HR Happy Hour host, the magnetic Steve Bowes, dispel his HR wisdom at Acquire's Structure 2011 conference next month. Register now at acquireinc.com/structure2011.
Uh-oh, someone doesn't have us on mute.
Whoops.
Awesome. I'm going to mute some lines until I figure out who that is. Well, anyway, that was fun. Super show.
Thank you guys so much. You really saved our butts tonight.
I would like to see you guys do a show, and we can do a little bit of a battle royal on the social media stuff, because I still think that we're missing. We haven't had some conversations in our industry yet about this. When Jerry says it takes a lot of time, really, how long does it take to tweet? I mean,
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, Paul. I got asked to do a webinar coming up, you know, in a little while about social referrals, right? Employee referrals and social media aspect to employee referrals. And as I'm sort of trying to prepare some information and documentation for that, I've read like 3 articles about how it's all bullshit and, you know, it's just,
really?
You know, yeah, like just getting all your employees to tweet out jobs is useless. And, you know, it's like, deal with that, you know.
Before you do your webinar, I'll send you some contact information. Kevin Gunn is a director of talent acquisition for EB.
Kevin's EB3, awesome.
Yeah, he's EB3 is a med device firm that went public, and now they got acquired by Covidien, which is a much larger national med device player. He and Ryan Steen from Monster did a presentation for a different recruiter group in town. Kevin walked through how they've changed their career page, their website in general, to focus more on jobs. They then talked about how he was doing stuff with Ryan and the folks from Monster on Facebook. They are creating an app that's going to tie into, EB3 employees will have to opt into it, but it's going to actually get tied into their internal employee referral program.
Okay.
So Steve could refer Shauna for the job that was posted on the career page, but it came through the Facebook page, and you would ultimately get credit if Shauna gets hired.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So when folks say this is BS, you know, some of it is BS. But here's a company that, and Kevin's got the statistics, they lowered, because mostly of their social media presence and them just being more active within the recruiting space,
okay,
they lowered their search firm fees 60% last year.
Wow.
Dude.
So that'd be awesome.
I would love to connect with him in some of that content as well, because that's great content. That's great case study
Preppy
content.
Says, and if any of you guys are search firm folks that are in marketing and sales, please call me because I need help.
Paul, you'll do awesome.
No, it's not my favorite. But it's that part, though, right, where it works for some positions, it works better in some towns, it works better in some industries than others.
Well, to me, Paul, that's the takeaway point of everything we talked about tonight, that sort of, you know, understanding the industry you're recruiting for, the geography you're living in, the inclinations of those candidates. And Jerry's point was excellent as well. You know, I went out and I poked around and I found some Cold Fusion forum site, and that's where Cold Fusion developers like to hang out and chillax. Well, that's where you need to go. And I thought that was a super point as well.
Totally.
So I'm telling you, man, we should get 2 pros and 2 cons for this stuff one night and go 90 minutes.
Okay. I would do that. I will do that. We will get that put together. I absolutely will do that. Be great.
You know what you could do is you could come up to Minneapolis and do your 100th show.
You know what? We need a road trip. We do. It's been a while. You know, we're going down to HR Evolution. I'll be flying down in the morning, but we're not doing a show because I just don't feel like it, quite frankly. Road trip might be good. We got about 3 weeks to sort it out, Shauna. So, you know, when I get down to town tomorrow, we'll sit down and figure it out.
And Sean, I got to tell you, you could say you missed Minnesota, but winter sucked.
I heard. I know, but I will be dying this summer and missing Minnesota like you have no idea.
It goes both ways. I tell you what, it's been a brutal winter. It's been we were snowing here a week ago, you know, a little bit. You know, it's crazy. So, but you know, God bless our friends in Alabama. You know, we didn't really mention that tonight, but so horrible, and Mississippi and the other places as well. So prayers out to those folks as well.
Yeah, my dad got home yesterday just in time for all the bad storms.
Yuck.
I'm like, yay, you're out of a war zone. Welcome to tornado.
All right, yeah. I think we're done, Paul. Thanks so much, buddy. Really appreciate it. Anytime,
please.
The door's always open to you. Absolutely. And,
good to hear your guys' voices. And please, now that it's just having started this new thing and being a little overwhelmed with everything else, that don't think that I don't like you guys, support you guys, because you know I do.
No, man.
You and
no
I
worries.
Need to talk.
No worries at all.
We haven't talked in forever.
So great. So thanks so much, everyone. Thanks to Jerry, to Mike Vandervoort, Tim Gardner, Mike, of course, as well as Shauna. Great time tonight. Well, Shauna, you know, you can send out an APB when you get off the call and find out what happened to Dr. Woody. We'll track him down. And
seriously.
And that's it. So great. Thanks so much for Nature Happy Hour, and we will see you next week. And I will see you, Shauna, tomorrow at HR Evolution. All
great
right.
Good to see you.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for the HR Happy Hour. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.